Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jordan Patswold. It's the first Wednesday of the month, which means we have another God Talk and Pastor Rick Gibson joining us on the program today. It's great to have you here, Pastor Rick. A happy belated Canada Day to you. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you. And it is great to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots going on, I know, with summertime. Lots of people busy. Some people finally settling down after some busyness, to each their own. But it's just a nice time of year. We don't have to worry about the sun disappearing as soon as it got up. So some nice long days. It's all enjoyable.
That's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a busy last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as you started the program, happy Canada Day. My wife and I had the joy of being present at the Western Development Museum here in Yorkton. And my wife participated with the program there, and we had a wonderful time there. And the weather was hot.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
To be there. And then although I did not make it to the fireworks, from what I've heard, it was a tremendous firework display at the Gallagher Center that evening. And then for our non-Canadian friends south of the border.
Right, yes.
Yesterday being the 4th of July, I really wanted to watch their programs to see how they celebrate the 4th of July. And I have to admit, they put a lot more into it and a lot more people. I think I'd say people-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I commented to my wife after the show was over yesterday. I said, there's one thing that really stood out for me about how the Americans celebrated their 4th of July. And she said, what was that? I said, not a single politician spoke. There were no politicians to be seen anywhere. Hmm. This was a people-driven, oriented celebration.
Yeah.
And it ended with a phenomenal fireworks display. Now, we could never afford that here in
right.
Yorkton, but in Washington, they pulled the stops out. They did a phenomenal.
It's amazing, even in comparison to how we had such a big year, Canada 150, and I'm guessing the random 239. Yeah, still more spent, I'm sure, for year 239 in the States than
241.
241? Oh, that's right. Sorry, I carried the one in the wrong place.
241 years.
Yeah, I subtracted when I should have added. My bad there on the number. But yeah, just the celebration, too, for what our countries are and what they stand for. It's I know it's gotten a lot of weird debate, I know, in some ways, whether or not we should be proudly promoting our nationalism so much, but yet there's so much to be proud for in our countries that to not do so would be such a disservice to those that have gone before us and put in the effort to make the country it is.
Yes. And I think we need to celebrate who we are in order to maintain who we are.
Hmm.
We need to reinforce that identity upon ourselves. And so as we've had the Canada Day celebration and fireworks. We had the, as I say, the non-Canadian south of the border
yep.
friends, 4th of July. And starting today, it's the Yorkton Fair.
Here we go. Again.
And for some people, that is a busy time.
Yeah.
And it is a time of activity and all sorts of things going on. And again, my wife made a comment last night that got me thinking about today and the Yorkton Fair and everything else that has gone on. As we were watching the American fireworks, and we were both commenting on, wow, what a fireworks display. My wife, in the middle of nowhere, went, just think what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. She says, this is going to pale in comparison to his coming back.
Right.
And when I think of all the activity that's going to be going on and the excitement that's going on and the shouting, some in fear, some in joy at the fair rides, that's going to pair.
Yeah.
In comparison to the return of our Lord.
Well, just even alone through just the nature of God's wonder and beauty, look at a thunderstorm as a great example. some are fearful, some are just in awe of what some of those storms can be. We just had one a couple days ago, I think even topped the fireworks that I had seen over the past weekend, and that alone, just the wonder of creation, rather what the man-made production that were put on in the last couple of days too. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And so it got me thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to reflect upon Jesus was here, but now he's gone. And so we're in this in-between time.
Yeah.
This huge in-between time. And somehow I think that sometimes we feel like the disciples did when they saw Jesus being crucified. They knew that he had been buried. And then they're starting to hear reports that he might be here. They had heard these reports from Mary Magdala and perhaps with the other women who were with her at the tomb. They had heard her say that she had seen him. Then they had the two disciples that we talked about last time on the show on the Emmaus Road. They made their way back and they told them that they had seen him. We have the experience of Peter and John that they ran to the tomb and they found the tomb empty. The scripture says that John saw and believed, but Peter was filled with questions. All Peter knew for sure was that the body was not there. And sometimes I think that we as Christians tend to identify more with the disciples that were in the upper room by themselves.
Kind of hiding.
Yeah. In fact...
Afraid to put themselves out there as identifiers, as followers of Christ, even perhaps?
Because they would be afraid of that because anyone who was identified as a follower of Christ was a potential of ending up like Christ.
Yeah.
And so you can picture that the disciples are in what we might call a lockdown mode.
Yeah.
Anybody getting in has to knock on the door and give the password or whatever before anyone could get in. Otherwise, the door was locked. And only those who were disciples, followers of Christ, were there in that room. And we're told that suddenly, unexpectedly, unaware, Jesus showed up in the midst of it. Now, I want us to pause here and think that they're in a locked room. In fact, the shutters on the windows are probably closed and locked. It's the kind of precautions you take so that a thief does not break in. You barricade yourself in because you are afraid. And suddenly, Jesus is there in the midst. I don't know if they thought about this at all, but Jesus said, "I am the door." Jesus said, "I am the gate." Jesus said that he was the temple place. He was the chief cornerstone. In other words, it doesn't matter what kind of bricks you want to use. It doesn't matter what kind of doors you want to use. Sure. It doesn't matter what kind of protection you want to put around your place. That is not going to stop Jesus. Hmm. Jesus shows up and is there in their midst with them. And the first thing he says unto them is, peace. I think I could have thought of other words that I might have said, but he said, peace. The Hebrew word, shalom. And suddenly, they're looking at the Messiah, the one who portrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane a man of sorrows, a man who was bearing the burden of sin, of the sins of the world upon himself. In the garden, the scripture says that great drops of sweat and blood dripped off him. A man of sorrows. And he's now saying, peace. I am the man of peace. And I want to give you my peace. Not the kind of peace that we think of in terms of when governments are talking about trying to come to a peace accord. No, we're talking about that inner quality, that inner contentment with your life and with your own salvation, where your future is going to be. Hmm. Now, the disciples gathering in that locked down room, they're in the Jewish tradition of honoring the dead. It is a time when basically all you do is sit, and you sit on low stools because it's uncomfortable. It's intentionally down there to be uncomfortable.
Right.
You don't want to be comfortable when you're mourning the loss of someone. Jewish people will even take black pieces of cloth and cover up all the mirrors so that you're not focused on how you look. You're not focused on the world and what the world is perceiving you. The focus is upon the loss, the mourning that you are going through. And the disciples are in this shut off, locked down space, sitting on low stools, when suddenly Jesus shows up. Now, there's another side note to this that I think we might talk about in our next program. But the side note is, where was Thomas when Jesus showed up? Remember, Thomas was not there the first time.
Right.
Why was Thomas not participating in the Shiva? In this time of mourning, why was he not there with everyone else? And because he was not there, he missed something. He missed
the peace,
the presence of Christ. He missed the peace. I mean, because Thomas says, unless I see him, unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints in his hand, unless I can put my fist into his side, rather than going down that road, let's get back to where we're at to today. They're all kind of in awe that there's Jesus. He's now doing something to their brains because they knew he was dead. They had heard rumors. But now they're seeing him, and they're experiencing him. And I think they're just kind of like a deer caught in the headlights of a car.
Sure.
it doesn't know what to do now. It suddenly just stops.
Stuck.
And they're stuck there. And they don't know what to do when Jesus, he suddenly becomes the host at a meal once again. He looks around. He says, "Friends, do you have anything to eat?" And so somebody scurried around, and they found some broiled fish. Somebody had brought that. Someone that was part of the Shiva. Food is brought in so that all you have to do is you just sit and mourn and remember the loss. And somebody finds the broiled fish, and they give the fish to Jesus. And I think Jesus would do what he always did. He would give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Then he would break the fish and start to pass out. And he began to eat the fish. Ghosts or apparitions do not eat solid food. And so he's proving to them that he is alive. And then, while they're eating, the scripture says he gives them a personal Bible study. Wouldn't it have been great?
Sure.
To have been there.
Yeah.
To listen to that Bible study, because he once again now begins and he works his way through the Old Testament. Remember, that's all they had at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about how he is revealed in the Pentateuch, then how he is revealed in the Psalms, and then how he is revealed in the history or through the prophetical writings. And he slowly makes his way from beginning to end, teaching them all about how Scripture pointed to himself. What a meal that must have been. And many churches celebrate communion once a month. Some churches do it on the first of the month. Some do it on the end, the last Sunday of the month. Some do it every Sunday. Some do it occasionally. But, you know, it's when we gather around the table that we begin to talk, and it's where our faith is really strengthened. When we gather together, whether it be at a church potluck or a church picnic, or guests invited into a home, our faith is strengthened. It is encouraged. And there's something that doesn't happen if you're not there. So it's like Thomas isn't there.
Right.
He missed
and hence
out.
He's the one that's more hesitant to believe and go along with it.
Yeah. You know, when things go wrong, it's easier to run away. It's hard to stay put when things aren't right. I've known many young people over the years that they're in high school, they're not getting the grades that they need to get because either they're goofing off or they're whatever. And they find it's easy to drop out. It's hard to stay. Many of them have had to go back to school afterwards for either a GED or back right into the school program.
Can sometimes be even harder than the original time.
Yes, but it's hard to stay the first time. It's hard to stay if there is chronic illness, whether it be for a child that is always sick, or a spouse that is always sick, or it is for a parent that now you are caring for because they don't have the physical capabilities of doing it again. Mm-hmm. It is easier to run away from it.
Yep.
It's hard to stay in ministry. There are pastors that, oh, it's so hard here. I'm going to move the first chance I can get. It is hard to stay and work through. It is, Jesus says, peace. My peace I leave with you. The staying power. It is when we take the time to Shiva that we get to experience Christ and receive the staying power that he offers. And it's the times when we get to hear what he has to say to us. And I guess I just want to end kind of the program with the thought of, if you think fireworks is great, this is the in-between time. Hey, look forward to what's coming.
There you go. We will leave it there for today again. It's been All You Ever Wanted to Know. Our guest again, Pastor Rick Gibson. God Talk will be back in 2 weeks' time with Pastor Rick. We invite you to listen in for that. It's been All You Ever Wanted to Know. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.